know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I will be your host for the next 2 hours, Matt Wilhelm, live from the Dog Bowl. Joining me again today, Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for the Cleveland Browns. And March Madness is underway. Brackets have been busted. I have to say it, and I'll admit it, I went 10 for 16 on the first day, and I'm looking for a bounce-back kind of day. How about you, Grib?
My bracket got busted during the show yesterday. You know, Kevin Jones here talked me into Iowa State, was just selling me on him. It's like he worked for the athletic department there, and then they just crumbled.
So is it safe to say that his bracket is busted as well?
Oh, yeah, much more busted than mine. I can still survive, I think, by missing one of my Final Four, but him and – along with Browns wide receiver Andrew Hawkins, they're in a lot more trouble.
You guys. All right, let's get right into some of the Ohio Business Machine hot topics today. Again, you can reach the show at any point in the next 2 hours, 216-578-0850, or tweet at the show at Browns_daily, or you can tweet at Andrew Gribble, Andrew_Gribble. First hot topic today is the Browns have now confirmed that Dwayne Bowe has signed a contract with the franchise. It is a 2-year deal. The financials have not been have come out yet. How does this impact the team, and what will we now do in the draft? So, Andrew, I'll pose this question to you first, and then again, we want to hear from you out there. 216-578-0850. Do we go wide receiver at 12 and 19? And as I just was, you know, coming back from lunch, you know, here in Berea, I talked to some of the sales staff, and they were asking me questions about the draft now that we've signed Dwayne Bowe. Do we still go wide receiver? And the one point that I had to make very clear is I don't necessarily think we have to go number one in the first round, but if Parker, White, or Cooper drop to 12, I think you got to pull the trigger.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same boat. I've said this multiple times, though. If I'm of the philosophy, if Danny Shelton is there at number 12, no matter what wide receiver is also there, I go with Danny Shelton. That's been my pick pretty much since the Senior Bowl. He's just such a good nose guard, made a ton of plays at Washington last year, made so many more tackles than you usually see out of that position, a lot of TFLs, a lot of sacks as well. So he is my guy still at number 12 if he's around. Now I'm kind of on the fence, though. I think if those three are there at number 12, one of those three, I still go in that direction. But now I'm more open to the idea of a player like I don't know if it's a reach, but a Bud Dupree of Kentucky, the pass rusher at that position. Maybe if a player like Shane Ray falls to you at number 12.
Yeah.
Those kind of pass rushing, outside linebacker, hybrid type guys that the position really didn't get addressed in free agency, but clearly it's probably going to be something that gets addressed in the future. And then 19, maybe Jalen Strong, but I would try to trade back if you didn't address the wide receiver earlier, because I think you can get Jalen Strong later. But I'm also I've more come around to the idea of an offensive lineman like L. Collins of LSU, an offensive lineman that isn't just positioned at one spot. A versatile offensive lineman that can play guard or tackle when you need him to, and to play those positions well and provide some competition to the guys on the right side of the offensive line.
Absolutely. And you know what? I like your thinking, because I think Danny Shelton is a difference maker defensively, just as if a pass catcher, one of those top three wide receivers, would be offensively. I think you're getting the equivalent in Danny Shelton. And so I believe what you're trying to say is that second tier of wide receivers, which we've talked about the last couple days since you've been on the show with me, is we can go get the pick of the litter at 19 and also still, and not stretch at 19. We can move back, and I think some of those guys are even going to stretch into the early, you know, the early second round as well.
And I think at least one or two of those guys in that second tier, if we're talking about a Devin Smith, a Sammy Coates, Doriel Green Beckham, who also has some off-the-field things you have to consider, or maybe even Jalen Strong, I think at least two would still be around for the Browns' second-round pick.
Yes, which is great, and I think Doriel Green Beckham was probably the most talented wide receiver in this draft, and would have been a top 10 pick had he not had those off the field troubles.
Yeah, I mean, his sophomore season at Missouri, you could have made the argument he was one of the best receivers in the country. I mean, he's got there's a reason why this guy was the number one recruit in the nation out of high school. He has all the tools on the field. It's just that off the field evaluation. Has he learned from his mistakes? Also, how is he? What type of shape is this guy in physically from taking a year off of college football? Remember, you go back to Mike Williams at USC.
Yes.
When he was off that year, came into the NFL, still was drafted very highly. It just never seemed like he was the same player after that.
No, you're right. And again, on this Friday, we're going to do the fan mock draft, kind of rivals exactly what we were just talking about. Now that we've signed Dwayne Bowe, what impact does it have on our draft in the first round? Our fan mock draft, now that the Browns have done what they've done in free agency, would you take – who would you take at number 12 and number 10 if you were and number 19? If you were Ray Farmer and the Browns front office, who would it be? Please call the show, 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you. You could tweet at the show, at Browns_daily. And it's a very interesting topic. And you made the, you know, you kind of made the point that there was the huge buzz that free agency was stealing the thunder of the NBA in its prime. Spring training was just opening. We've got March Madness, you know, now taking over the limelight. And free agency kind of has whittled its way out of the spotlight, and it immediately shines so bright on what's going to happen in Chicago in about a month.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is the time of the year where everyone is going to start playing GM in front of their computer screens, and this is what makes the draft its own type of sport almost. The way it's covered, the way people obsess over it, and how big of a weekend that is when the draft finally comes. This is why you're going to keep seeing national writers, reporters starting to speculate what the Browns are going to do with those two picks in terms of potentially packaging them. I mean, this is that when you have two picks, people start getting really creative about what they think the Browns could do. And that's why you've seen all the rumblings of people writing that the Browns could package those picks and potentially move up to take a quarterback. Obviously, the name that is linked, that keeps getting linked, is Marcus Mariota. I think both of us are on the same page where we don't think that's likely to happen. But, you know, this is this type of stuff that's going to be out there. And if it's like this now, it's only going to just get ratcheted up as the weeks get closer and closer to the draft. But, I mean, these players at this point, I mean, if you know from experience, they've pretty much done what they can do at this point. Is
yes,
that correct?
They have.
I mean, most pro days are over. This is kind of the individual workouts point of the process. But I would think most teams' draft boards are pretty much set at this point.
They definitely are. And, again, to walk you through that process, because I have gone in it, I attended the combine. Didn't do a lot of workout. I went all in on my pro day. Had a very good pro day. And then basically who your agent is speaking to through those back channels or whatever team reaches out to you, you know, for a potential visit. And just to share a quick story about myself is I took a last-minute visit probably 3 days before the draft to Green Bay. So how funny is that? I end my career in Green Bay, and they fly me in, and I was number two at linebacker on their board. And they end up selecting Nick Barnett out of Oregon State. You know, probably played 5 or 6 years there in Green Bay before he moved on, I believe, to the Buffalo Bills for a couple years. And now I think he has retired from the game. But how funny it was for me, you know, in hindsight, to finish my career in Green Bay, be a part of a, you know, that amazing Super Bowl run. And all along, I could have been a Packer. I could have been, you know, raising my kids in Green Bay because, as we know and have spoken about many times, Green Bay likes to draft their own. You prove your value, you stay a Packer, very much like Tremont Williams has for most of his career, A.J. Hawk had for, you know, 8+ years. So it's just very funny. And you kind of spoke about it, Gribble, is you are the general manager. We're giving you the opportunity to have 12-19 at your disposal. What do the Browns do? We're going to hit some callers here in our first segment talking about that opportunity. Let's go to Jim in Lakewood.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Hey, this question about taking a receiver, it's a funny one. You guys were bringing it up yesterday as well. And, you know, my first inclination is yes, absolutely. I mean, Hartline and Bowe are neither one number one receivers. Both of them are on the other side of 30 or close to it. They've only got two-year contracts. These guys aren't going to be around forever. If you've got the opportunity for an Amari Cooper or a Devontae Parker or Kevin White to drop to you at number 12, take him. Have a stud number one receiver. But, you know, somebody's got to throw to those number one receivers. And
this is a fact.
If you look back at the last two Super Bowl champions, neither one of them has an Amari Cooper or a Kevin White, talking about the Patriots and the the Seahawks. I mean, it's great to have a Calvin Johnson or an Andre Johnson, but again, if you don't get the ball to them, you're not going to make the playoffs, let alone win playoff games. And that's why, again, it is conflicting to me. My first inclination was, yeah, I mean, if Amari Cooper drops to number 12 or Kevin White, jump on it, because these recent signings aren't they're not the stud wide receiver that you always want to have. But, I want to trade up. I want to take those picks and trade up. I mean, last year I wanted to spend both number one picks on Zach Mettenberger and David Carr. Yeah, I don't care. You're not going to win in this league without a franchise quarterback. If you've got number one first-round draft picks, and there are guys that you can get. Now neither Mariota or Winston, at least not Winston, probably not Mariota, is going to drop to number 12. So you're going to have to move up. Package the two picks and move up and get the quarterback. You're not going to win without a franchise quarterback.
You're right about
that. We don't have one.
You're right about that, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. And he makes a great point, and I'll throw it to you here in a minute, is I think the one thing that we don't know about the plan offensively for this team is what is John DeFilippo like? You know, we know the type of player that Mike Pettine likes. We know the plan that Ray Farmer has. But what type of player and what type of scheme? And we've heard a little bit about it, but we haven't seen it in practice. And we haven't seen, we haven't seen the playbook in front of these players going out and living out this John DeFilippo offense. So I think his personality has to go into potentially who we draft. Who does he like and what personality fits us? And I know you wrote an article, of course, about the signing of Dwayne Bowe. Shine some light on, what wowed Dwayne Bowe to Cleveland based on what he heard from John DeFilippo.
Well, I think it was this is the second player, or at least maybe third player, I've heard mention the DeFilippo's kind of excitability and energy that he brings to the offense coordinator position. And now, when you look at that now, it seems like the Browns really have two of these kind of fiery, excitable coordinators in both John DeFilippo and Jim O'Neill. I mean, Jim O'Neill's really just kind of an exciting guy. Like, I remember, I think Billy Wynn told me they call him the Hurricane. Like, he's just full of energy, and really the guys love playing for a coordinator like that. So that was one of the things. Two, he talked about liked going from a diehard fan base in Kansas City to a similar following. He mentioned the dog pound multiple times, talked about how excited he is to play for them. And I think I've seen on Twitter the responses have just been they've been blowing up his mentions and everything like that, and kind of wishing him well and congratulating him on coming to Cleveland. And then three, he just talked about how this offense, without getting into specifics, is going to showcase his abilities. And I wonder how much different it's going to be than what he had in Kansas City, because clearly over these last couple of years in Kansas City, there was a drop off in production, not as many opportunities. Maybe they got on the whiteboard and they showed him, hey, we're going to find better ways to get you open, better ways to use your size. And
I would love that.
Ray Farmer mentioned that in his quote, that, they love his size. And I think that goes along with what John DeFilippo said in the radio interview earlier this month. He wants a diversity in this wide receiver room. I think earlier in the offseason, everyone kind of pointed the fact that the Browns returning wide receivers are all below like 5'11", 5'10". Now you've got Hartline 6'2". Dwayne Bowe is about 6'2", but a big 6'2", 222
sure.
type of target. So now you're starting to see different faces in there, and we all expect the Browns to draft wide receivers at some point in this draft, but you've reached a point now where in a vacuum, if there's no wide receivers out of this team, you at least can put a thing together where you've got Bowe, Hartline, and Hawkins out there, and you could feel comfortable with
it. Sure,
them.
And I know I read the statement. Ray Farmer loved, and Mike Pettine loved, his catch radius. Big body, big physical body, can catch the ball in traffic. Let's hit one more call before we go to break. Let's go to Cam, our guy up in Canada. What's up, Cam?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you, eh?
I'm doing great, eh? last year, I want to remind everybody that the team did win 7 of its first 11 games without a franchise guy. And what I like, I don't think we're looking at the factors that entered in with Mac going down and Gordon coming back and disrupting the chemistry. But the thing that I really think has happened here in the last week is this draft has now gone from being about happenstance and hopefulness too algorithmic. Now they can sit back and they can say, okay, we got this many volts in this position now. It's going to extend for this many years, so we can plug this guy in, and he's going to be able to do this in this many years. We've gone from hopeful to actually being able to scientifically go into this draft and let these guys address things. I just think these guys bought themselves a world of opportunity and a world of versatility with the moves they've made. I just love what's happened last week.
Awesome, Cam. Thank you so much. We love your optimism. And he's right. You know, we've met some needs. Yes, and the plan has kind of fallen in line. We knew we weren't going to be big spenders. We weren't going to be, you know, first day, second day, even third day. And, of course, the Cleveland Browns fans are frustrated because we were not linked to any player, and we weren't spending any bit of that $50-plus million that we have in cap space. But it's all happened. We were patient. And in some cases, what I love about this plan is there were no sources leaking information about who we were being linked to, who was in for a visit, so on and so forth. We just kind of did our thing our way, which in some cases – a Cleveland Brown fan or someone a part of the Dog Pound could say, you know, Ray Farmer, you know, never tips his hat and he doesn't share anything with the fan base, so we get nothing to get excited about. And I get that, you know, because other teams do it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do it. But all in all, I believe, just as he did last year via free agency, and we didn't make as big a splash because Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby were day one, minute one into free agents that signed here in Cleveland, and Andrew Hawkins was done in about 24 hours. We just took a little bit more time. We waited for everything to pan itself out, but we added value, we added competition, and more so than anything, we added some experience to this locker room.
Yeah, definitely. I think the big thing with this class is definitely not as much splash as last year. And Petten went out of his way to say that was maybe a unique circumstance where, as a new coach, you want to bring in guys that you know fit your system and you maybe get more involved at the high end of free agency than you'd like to. But you could make the argument that this year's free agency class produced more potential day one starters for this team. Because you look at Brian Hartline and Dwayne Bowe, you figure both those guys are going to be regularly used. Randy Starks, Tremont Williams on the defensive side of the ball as well. And then you even go back, it's a potential that Josh McCown is the starting quarterback on day one. So that's a potential of five starters. I know it didn't get as exciting in the first week, but I think you can make the argument the Browns fans had the most exciting second week.
Yes, they absolutely did. Well, there it is. We've laid it out so far. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns Daily. You are the general manager. After the moves that the Browns have made in free agency, what do you do at 12-19? We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Matt Wilhelm and Andrew Gribble live from Berea in the Dog Bowl on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.